¿Cómo no me despertaste cuando se iba el alma mía? Nube de agua, nube de agua, nube de agua. Mañana por la mañana, cubre tu patio de flores, que te viene a visitar la Virgen de los Dolores. Mariposa, 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 allá arriba en aquel alto tengo un pozo de estrellas.
Often Mexico is spoken of in terms of President Vicente Fox's economic policy, but what of his social policies in Mexico? Sarita Ahuja joins us on the line for a discussion on the situation for communities in rural areas who are increasingly finding their freedom of communication cut off by militarization. She's recently returned from the area and will give us an overview of how and why communities in Guerrero are engaging in the very dangerous act of creating community access radio in Mexico. Welcome to the program, Sarita. Tell us a bit about the situation in Guerrero. Why is it that people in rural communities are increasingly finding their communities militarized?
Well, over the last couple of decades, there's been increased militarization. One of the reasons is because of the impact of Zapatismo, with insurrection in 1994 that brought to the national debate and the heart of politics today in Mexico is the question of the indigenous peoples and their autonomy. And over the course of the last couple of decades, with the articulation and strengthening of these voices, of these social organizations that are defending the different indigenous communities in Mexico, one of the means in which this is being played out is through community radio. Like right now, the government is estimating that there's over 100 community radios. They're calling them illegal or pirate radios, but most people are using the term community radio. It's not exactly in the same way that we understand community or that we know of community radio, but in that it responds to a need and it is mobilized by a community. In that way, it is community radio. But it could also be called indigenous radio because it's specific to what's going on in the rural context. And the militarization isn't new, and being cut off and isolated and marginalized is not new either. Actually, these are age-old situations, but the flourishing of radio in the last couple of years is really phenomenal, and it fits perfectly for the situation that many of the indigenous communities find themselves in, where they're very removed from basic infrastructure in terms of roads, telephones, or televisions, all the telecommunications that we depend on. And also, not only are they removed from all that or they don't have access to it, then they have, military occupation to deal with. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, they're having to go through confrontation with the military, but they are constantly in their presence. There's checkpoints that you have to go through, or you're constantly being surveyed and controlled. Your movement and your circulation in that area, and therefore your communication with other people, right, is constantly being controlled. So in the last, I guess, 2 years, there's been more and more discussion among those social organizations and political organizations, as well as just communities that have been getting access to transmitters and that have been transmitting. And they've been discussing more and more about the realities that they find themselves in, why the radio is being so helpful in the work they need to do to get out to people that, you know, don't have clinics, don't have schools, don't have ways to get their products out. You know, a lot of farm workers, right, is in the real situation. Mainly, people are living off farms. So, the radio offers a means in which they can listen in their own language, first of all, which is something very revolutionary. listen in their own indigenous language, what's going on in their local area, and that's what's going on, really, in Mexico. If we look today, if you look on the news, they'll talk to you about, you know, all the things that we see on the news in the city and so on. And when it comes to what's going on in the provinces or in the regions, you know, it's the typical one-liner, oh, the military did this today, or this community, you know, took over a municipal building, and then there was, you know, confrontation, and people were killed, and so on, and that's it. But whereas a community radio is going to be talking about it from what they just, you know, that's their experience they just lived, and it also, it gives back the voice to those that are trying to take on being their own subjects and their own destiny, right? So it's from their own history, their own perspective, their own objectives. And it responds to, it can serve as a tool for them to recuperate or to strengthen their aim to become an autonomous people, right? Autonomous First Nations.
Sarita, can you just describe practically how people are transmitting information now? How do people go about the process of trying to travel, specifically when it comes to communication and transmitting information? And maybe describe the practical change that a community radio station would bring to that process.
Right. Well, let's say in the region where I'm working with the project Radio Libertad, that's, you know, there's only 39 communities in this one little area. And prior to what will be a community radio, most people have to walk from community to community. If you want to pass a message on, you have to walk 6 hours up and down steep, rugged mountains, because the communities are in the Sierra. And so it's as fast and as far as you can go, basically, is how people communicate, you know, and that's how information is circulated in those areas from one community to the next. There's actually a role in many of the communities, the traditional structures, like, accommodate for that messenger person. There's always someone in a community that can do that, right, to send the messages along if there needs to be a communal assembly, let's say. So, if communities are organized in such a way and they have constituted some kind of social organization or political organization with the same principles of unity and with the same goals, then, you know, sometimes they have cars. If there's, like, dirt roads and so on, then they can get to each other that way. But you're still going, passing by, you know, military bases, military checkpoints, as well as the judicial police, federal police, and so on and so forth that are constantly around you all the time. So that's like the reality in which these, when radios are set up, suddenly, you know, you can cover a 50-kilometer radius in that same area to get out a message that would normally have taken you, you know, a couple days to circulate around in the communities. And then for, you know, for people to know if it's for real, if it's rumors, if it's, you know, all those kind of things, then that's a whole other thing, too. With the radio, this can constitute a means in which people have confirmed information right away. And while they're in their homes, after they've come from the fields, you know, and they're doing their housework, then, you know, they know what's going on, and it makes it that much easier. Imagine if we didn't have a radio to turn on in the morning to let us know what was going on in the world, right?
Can you talk a bit more about the relationship between human rights in Mexico and the ability to transmit information, or there are issues there that you find a common relationship?
Well, there's been a lot of talk. The laws right now that govern radio and television are from the 60s. People say that for Mexico to make the final leap and transition towards democracy and to having a healthy human rights and so on, is to democratize the telecommunications sector, because it's right now government, it's either government run or you know, the private sector, and there's two monopolies, two dynasties that own pretty much all the radios and television in the country, and they give a lot of time to American culture, well, American propaganda, and that's one of the things that people are saying. If, you know, if we want to really push for democracy, then that's where we have to break up the monopoly, is in the media sector. And both the government, the Secretary for National Defense, as well as the Communication and Transport Department, as well as you know, your kind of Chamber of Commerce type of organizations, are very, very reticent to allowing any kind of changes in legislation that can provide legally for what community radio is. Right now, the laws allow for government radio and for experimental radio, but they don't allow for what is called community radio. And basically they have been, you know, like, let's say in a local area where a community has decided to transmit, someone from that area will call or inform the local parties, the PRI or the PRD or some kind of political institution, that will then also inform the military and the communication and transport. Then they send agents, or they send people to come and check. And at times they've sent in, you know, patrols that are over, you know, 50 men or so on, and they just come in and there's a confrontation with the community, because the community is going to defend their transmitter. They're going to defend their right to be able to communicate to each other. And then what happens, you know, there's been occasions where not only have they confiscated the equipment, but there have been shootouts where, you know, communities have taken the stand where they will defend their right to communicate and their actual radio to death, you know. And it has happened, especially in places like Oaxaca, where there is a lot of community radios. There's an enormous amount right now. In the last 2 years, transmitters have been being built out of Mexico City, and Oaxaca has been the place where, I guess you could say, the growth of community radio has been most obvious. So that's kind of, the situation where you've got, on one hand, this idea where Mexico is, is becoming the modern Latin American model for, prosperity, economic growth, reforms, and a society that maintains, human rights and so on. And on the other hand, the reality is showing us that there's an enormous amount of resistance by the political elite and the economic sector to allow small communities that actually, their radios have no impact on anyone else beyond their small region, right? And their communities and in their languages. They have an enormous amount of resistance to the existence of these small radios, and they're coming down with as much repression, I suppose you could say. They're just closing them down, and there's no ability to dialogue with that. There's a bunch of NGOs in Mexico that have tried to engage the government in dialogue around these issues to put forth the case in defense of community radio. One of them is the World Association for Community Radios that's based in Montreal and has a network throughout the world. And it has, it hasn't been working. The last resort that community radios were talking about when I was leaving Mexico was a mobilization to the capital where people would come out in caravans and be transmitting in their languages from their normal frequencies, and they would go to the capital to lay siege around the different governmental institutions, like kind of camp out in front of them and block entries and transmit there to exert some kind of popular pressure to basically say, listen, we exist, we're not going away, you can confiscate our equipment as much as you like, we're going to keep building them and we're going to keep getting them and we're going to keep transmitting, because it's one of the basic, premises of what democracy is. Not only that, as indigenous peoples, we have a right under the Convention 169 to have our own means of communication.
Given that response and given that action, it all seems to be pointing to the very dangerous situation for these communities trying to set up radio stations in rural Mexico. Can you talk about the difference in that experience of community radio in Mexico and your experience with community radio here as a former producer at CKUT? I can't exactly imagine people taking up arms, coming surrounding the station, or community radios necessarily mobilizing to transmit around Parliament,
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what I find is that we're very gâté. I don't know. I forgot how to say that in English. Spoilt here. In terms of community radio, we have, quite an incredible infrastructure and access to it. And so people have to imagine a situation where, we didn't have this kind of, we had no, let's say, each person lives in their own area of Montreal, and we don't have any radio. We don't have the ability to, what we're listening to is some kind of an American station coming in. Right? If those that own radios, right, are listening to American stations, and that we, we obtain a transmitter and we start from scratch, not knowing anything, because the people that are involved in community radio have no knowledge, right? They're just learning, they learn the basics of how to turn on the transmitter, and they just start from the very need and urge to be communicating with each other, right? They don't have a lot of training or a lot of, experience or education around this. And over a certain amount of time, people get accustomed to, or they appreciate that they're able to hear what's going on in their own neighborhood in their own language, right? Which could be French or English or whatever, but it's not American news. It's not the American songs that are being boomed across the waves, right? And it's, people are willing to defend that. They're willing to come out. At one point in September, the government came into a community radio to close it down, and over the airwaves, the call was, they're coming in, come help us defend the radio. And suddenly, there were like a couple hundred people outside the building, and the agents couldn't get out, and they got scared. They didn't know what people were going to do. It's just a different state where people are willing to... people in Mexico are looking for means to defend themselves against the continual Americanization of their culture, right? Not only are people being sucked in by the labor market in the States, but they're losing all sorts of their valuable cultural traditions and so on. And so the radios is seen more and more as this, very valuable tool. And so they're willing to come out and defend it once they have it, right? They're not going to let it go.
When you talk about the defense that the communities you're working with put up in terms of their access to communication, their access to radio, you're not only talking about the human rights experience in Mexico, but you're also talking about the ability of the various communities to retain their autonomy in their economic and social and cultural practices.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk a bit about the project that you work with, Radio Libertad, and give our listeners a bit of information about that.
Yeah, this project over the last year has slowly developed where communities had been discussing the need for some kind of means of communication, and there were several ideas that had been, thrown around, and the government actually also offered a kind of community radio, but would be conditioned to, governmental programs and so on for Indigenous peoples. And we were able to collaborate with these communities to get a radio transmitter from England, actually. And it's about 300 watts, and it can cover, in this area where it's going to be located, which is very mountainous, we're hoping that it can cover at least 40-kilometer range. And these people are hoping that with the radio, their ability to communicate from one community to another will be that much easier, because right now the militarization is very intense, like in Chiapas, where you have, over 70,000 soldiers in a very concentrated area. Guerrero is the same thing. The only thing is it's not very... it's not talked about. It's a hidden war that's happening there. So communities are hoping that with the radio, they'll be able to not only talk about, local news, that denounce the human rights violations that's happening on a constant daily basis, but also provide programs that can that the youth can take pride in their culture, in their own songs, in their own, traditional folk songs or whatever, their language, learn the stories that they've heard for ages, but on the radio in their own language, to cultivate some kind of, pride in their own history and so on. And so hopefully Radio Libertad is on its way. Unfortunately, the last time we went up to actually install the transmitter and the antenna, there was a new military base quite near the area. They saw us go up, and people that are involved in the radio project decided that they will hold out a bit and look for another area because the situation, there's not confrontation with the military right now, but they're very active, and they're doing a lot of operatives in the communities, and they're very vigilant right now. So people are just not wanting to throw out this whole project in one, you know, in one easy mistake. So they're holding off right now, but it shall be installed. We just don't know when, but hopefully in the next year. So if people are interested in supporting the Radio Libertad project, it doesn't only mean radios in Guerrero. It can also mean there's a series of community and free radios in Mexico. Over 7 radios have been developing over a couple years out of the K-Huelga experience from the student strike in 1999 at UNAM. And they're very vibrant collectives that Radio Libertad will be collaborating with in terms of news sharing as well as just, you know, supporting and being in solidarity with the growing movement for free radio in Mexico. So you can contact Radio Libertad at resist.ca for more information or for any kind of help you would like to offer.
Sarita, I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Okay. Thank you.